G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
This podcast is made available by Vision Christian Media, thanks to the generosity of our supporters. Your donation today means great podcasts like this remain available to help people look to God daily. Please make your donation to Visionathon today at vision.org.au.
You know, you can spend a lot of money on perfume today. I read one of the most expensive perfumes you can buy is called Shalani, and it costs $900 a bottle.
In the New Testament, Mary had an even more costly perfume. And Pastor Greg Laurie points out today that she used it to honor the Lord.
So Mary, she took the whole bottle of expensive perfume worth $25,000 to $30,000 and she anointed the feet of Jesus.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Pastors are asked a variation of one particular question. Can I do such and such and still be a Christian? It's never, can I tithe and still be a Christian? It's always something questionable or clearly sinful. Essentially, it's asking, can I give my all to Jesus but hold back this one thing? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points to the flip side of that coin. We'll see a New Testament story of a woman who gave it all for the Lord, including a most precious possession.
Let me take a quick poll. How many of you have heard of the Beatles? Raise your hand. You've heard of the Beatles, okay? How many of you have never heard of the Beatles before? I'm talking about a band, not bugs, by the way. Well, years ago in the 60s, when the Beatles were at the very peak of their popularity, John Lennon made a very controversial statement in an interview with a British publication that was picked up by the American press, and it caused a lot of people to get very angry at this band from England. But here's what he said in the interview: Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. Or he would have said it, Christianity will go. It will shrink. I needn't argue about that. Right, Paul? No, that's right, John. That's exactly right. You know, anyway. He says, I'm right, and I'll be proved right. And this is the big statement that got him in trouble. We're more popular than Jesus now, speaking of the Beatles. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity, end quote. Dear John, who's more popular now? The Beatles have been long broken up, but Jesus, in a way, is more popular than ever. In fact, I read an interesting article in the news the other day with a headline, The Popular Jesus is Emerging. It can be debated whether or not America is a Christian nation, but one thing is certain, according to author Stephen Prothero, everybody loves Jesus. And it's not just the usual suspects. In addition to Christians, America has Hindus, Jews, Buddhists, and atheists who adore Jesus. This fascination with Jesus is the subject of two classes being taught at Vanderbilt University this semester. One is called Jesus in Popular Culture, and the other is called Jesus in Film. Our Prothero said, quote, I'm pretty comfortable saying the United States is unique. This obsession with Jesus is unparalleled, end quote. Fascinating. Time magazine did a list of the 100 most significant figures in world history. And who do you think got the number one spot? Jesus. The most significant figure in human history. But by the way, this is nothing new. Jesus was popular in the first century as well, especially after he raised Lazarus from the dead. The name of Jesus was on everyone's lips. Wherever Christ went, crowds of people would press on him. He would be thronged Matthew 12 says, large crowds gathered to him and he got into a boat and sat down because a whole crowd was standing on the beach. You know, he had to get into a little floating pulpit, in effect, to get a little distance from the crowd. We read over in Luke 12 that so many thousands of people gathered together to hear Jesus. They were stepping on each other. And then in John 12, the text before us, a large crowd of the Jews learned that Christ was there, and they came not just for Jesus, but that they also might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. So Jesus was very popular. But here's the problem. This popularity would be short-lived. And the same people that were singing his praises now would be shouting for his crucifixion in only days. That's because they never really understood his real mission. Even his own hand-picked disciples didn't fully get it until he died and rose again from the dead, with one exception. And I would like to say it was Peter, James, and John, sort of the favored three that Christ would take with him on special occasions, but it wasn't. Nor was it any other of the disciples that Jesus hand-picked. In fact, it wasn't a man at all. It was a woman. It was a woman who had greater insight spiritually than those who effectively spent every waking hour of their life with Jesus for some three extended years. Who was the woman that seemed to get what all the guys missed? Her name was Mary. By the way, there's a number of Marys in the Bible, and we get confused. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary Magdalene. There's Mary of Mary and Martha, lots of Marys, okay? This is the Mary of Mary and Martha. They were sisters and their brother was Lazarus. And it's worth noting that every time we read of her, she is at the feet of Jesus. So maybe that's why she had such great insight. On one occasion when the Lord showed up at her house, I don't know if he would call first or text, probably not, since that technology didn't exist. He just show up, hey guys, I just was in town. I brought 12 of my friends. Is that okay? Can you make lunch? And Martha was such an amazing hostess. She would whip up these incredible meals for them. And Jesus really felt at home in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, one time when he showed up, Martha was getting a little frustrated. I mean, 12 people counting Jesus, that's 13 actually. That's a lot of people to cook for, especially if you weren't prepared for it. But she needed a little help in the kitchen. But when she's frantically, you know, making the meal, she looks out there and there's Mary, her sister, sitting at the feet of Jesus. So Martha, in frustration, comes out really upset. And we read in Luke chapter 10 that she demanded that her sister come help her. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus is saying, Martha, listen, appreciate the awesome food. But actually, Mary is right being here. She has chosen that one thing that really matters, which actually is better. She seemed, Mary that is, to grasp an essential truth that was largely missed by the others. And it was this, that Jesus had come to die. So she had a unique understanding as to who he was and why he came. And because of this, she brought the most incredible, valuable gift she could. And Jesus was so moved by her sacrificial act that he commended her and said, this will be a memorial that will never be forgotten. In fact, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, the story of what this woman has done will be told. So this was a big deal to Jesus, so it should be a big deal to us. And I find this fascinating. Jesus singles this story out, and we might not have done the same. Because, you know, a lot of amazing history was happening during the life and ministry of Christ. Rome was at its absolute zenith. Many very significant wars were fought at that particular time. But the Bible says very little about Rome. It says very little about Caesar. It says very little about much of what was going on. In fact, all it's there for is a backdrop to pinpoint these events in human time. We probably wouldn't even know who Caesar Augustus was if it wasn't for the Christmas story. We wouldn't know who King Herod was if it wasn't for what is written in the Gospel of Matthew. We wouldn't know about Pontius Pilate, the powerful Roman governor, if he did not play a role in the death of Christ. These people would be in the ash heap of history, and only history buffs would know about them. But we know of them because they played a role in the greatest story ever told. So this simply shows us that God sees things differently than we see them. So we look at things right now, world history happening before our eyes, and it looks really big, and sometimes it looks really scary. God sees it differently. In fact, the Bible says that the nations to him are a drop in the bucket.
Well, thanks for joining us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. And today, Pastor Greg is helping us to learn from the example of Mary in John chapter 12. By making a lavish sacrifice, she showed a great demonstration of love. Today's message is called No Regrets.
So what did this woman do that so impressed Jesus? Did she deliver an amazing sermon? No. Did she pray an incredible prayer of faith? Actually, no. In fact, what she did was not really very practical at all. In fact, you could even say it was somewhat impractical, but it was very heartfelt. So let's see what she did and why Jesus commended her. John 12, starting in verse 1. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. By the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Martha served, as she usually did, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him, and Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus with it, wiping his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with a fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. It could have been sold, and the money could have been given to the poor." I love John's commentary here. It's not that Judas cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She's done this in preparation for my burial. You'll always have the poor among you. But me, you will not always have." We'll stop there. Now, Mark's gospel brings a very important insight into the story. Speaking of the same event, Mark writes in Mark 14, 8, "She has done what she could." So Christ is saying of this woman, "She has done what she could. She came beforehand to anoint my body for burial. And assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached to the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her." Very important. Wow, what a dinner this was. Think about this. Jesus was there. That's really all that mattered. But now we have the resurrected Lazarus. This guy was dead. Imagine being invited over to a house for a dinner and meeting a guy who 3 days earlier had been dead. Would he be an interesting person to have a conversation with? Imagine what you'd ask him. So what's it like on the other side? What did you see over there? Was it scary? Was it awesome? What was it like when Jesus called you back from the dead? You know, tell me all about it. I'm sure there were a lot of questions. And so this room is abuzz with conversation. A lot is going on. And the reality is Jesus was pondering and thinking about what was ahead now. You know, it's not always great to know everything. And Jesus did. Aren't you glad you don't know everything about everyone? Sometimes we think we do. My granddaughter Allie came to me the other day and she said, she's like five. She said, "Papa, I'm smarter than you." I said, "Okay." She says, "I am. I'm smarter than you." I didn't even argue with her. Sometimes we feel that way in life. I know so many things. So you know very little, actually. But in fact, Jesus knew everything because he was God among us. And one of the attributes of God is omniscience, which means knowledge of all things. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. That's why Christ could predict the future in Matthew 24 in the Olivet Discourse. And and in other situations speaks so clearly of what was about to happen. For Christ, he knew the details of it, and he spoke of the details of it. In fact, he would describe how the Son of Man, speaking of himself, would be betrayed by one of his own. He would be delivered to the high priest and crucified by the Romans. And 3 days later, he would rise again. He knew all of this. He knew he was going to take the beating and the whipping and the crucifixion. And worst of all, he knew he would bear all the sins of the world. And it was weighing heavily on him this night. And I don't think anyone happened to notice, except Mary. She's watching him. She's saying, something is troubling the Lord. And I want to do something so extravagant, so amazing, that it will be a great blessing to him. So she breaks open this box of expensive perfume. Look at verse 3 again. A 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume. She anoints the feet of Jesus with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. There's a good possibility that this bottle of perfume was a family heirloom. We find out later it's worth $25,000 to $30,000. Now, it would make sense if she put a few drops on his feet. You know, a little goes a long way. By the way, that's a good rule of thumb to know about cologne perfume. A little goes a long way. You don't have to bathe in it. We don't want to smell you after you've left an hour later, as it is the case with some people, if they've been in a room or if they've been in a car, wherever it is they've been. So she took the whole bottle of expensive perfume and poured it on his feet. It was an act of complete devotion and adoration. Judas Iscariot, with calculator in hand, a man who knew the price of everything and the value of nothing, instantly calculates how much of a waste this was. As I said, $25,000 to $30,000. What a waste, Judas says, and he had a point. You know, you can spend a lot of money on perfume today. I Googled it just to find out what expensive perfumes there were out there. I read one of the most expensive perfumes you can buy is called Shalani. I like that name, Shalani. Sounds very mysterious. It's composed of rare flowers, including 336 roses and over 10,000 flowers of jasmine. Wow, how did they get all of that in that little bottle? And celebrities really favor Shalani, and it costs $900 a bottle. Oh, it gets much worse. There's Clive Christian's Imperial Majesty. This is a perfume. I'm not making this up, by the way. It's a combination of mandarin orange, Indian jasmine, white peach, lemon, and more. It'll set you back, get ready for it, $435,000 for a single bottle. But the most expensive perfume in the world is called, here you go, sucker. No, I made that up. But it should be. It's actually called DKNY, Delicious Million Dollar Perfume. That's even a stupid name. If you're going to ask me to pay $1 million, at least give me Shalani or something like that. And they actually call it what it is. It's the DKNY Delicious Million Dollar Perfume. Apple, sandalwood, musk, vanilla. Who stinking cares? Who's going to buy this? Listen, I Googled this because I used to wear this cologne. You can buy a bottle of JD's for $22. I was shocked to find JD's still exists. How many of you have heard of Jade East? Okay. How many of you are wearing Jade East? Anybody? Nobody here? Okay. Because we'd probably know if you were. Did someone raise their hand over here? Did I miss it? Okay. Okay. Thank you. I was getting to high karate. It's funny you should mention that. I used to also wear that. That's $56, sir. High karate. And an Old Spice, much more affordable. $13. Yeah. But this wasn't about perfume at all. This was about sacrifice. She brought the most valuable possession she owned and gave it to Jesus.
Pastor Greg Laurie pointing out the extravagant sacrifice on the part of Mary toward Jesus. And we'll learn more about the meaning behind this gesture as our study continues next time. So join us as Pastor Greg Laurie brings more insight on giving more than the minimum in our walk with the Lord if we want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called No Regrets. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast. Or for a copy on CD, contact Vision Christian Store on 1-800-00-50-11 or visionstore.org.au. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.